The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we're here to talk about some of your possibly favorite sequels in some of your favorite horror movie franchises. Specifically, we're talking about the 3D one.
This is just very fitting, but I don't know if anybody could hear it, but my bone cracked really loud in the middle of that entry, which was just like super fitting for a Final Destination film.
Totally work it.
Oh yeah, we're talking about The Final Destination.
Yeah, specifically the 3D one. Yeah, The Final Destination, Final Destination, always have it confused. I get the impression that they thought this was going to be the last one. They made another one right after it, and I think we're still possibly getting another one soon.
I feel like they should never stop.
Yeah.
The Final Destination franchise is one that I would be happy if it continued forever and ever. It's such a good setup. It never gets old. I will watch people die by a supernatural force that tips over cans of oil any day.
Right? This one's proof positive of that, too, because I think it's definitely the one that takes the franchise the least serious, concept the least serious.
Like, let's be real, right up the top. It is one of the weaker ones in the franchise. That's why it's in 3D, because we gotta pull all stops. It's also the most profitable one in the franchise.
3D.
It made like $180 million. Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
The tickets were twice the price.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we were looking just at ticket sales, who knows?
But $180 million is very good for a horror movie.
And frankly, I don't understand why people don't like it. Every time I see a franchise ranking for the Final Destination movies, everyone's throwing this at the bottom, and they are wrong.
But I mean, if you say that everyone is at least a 6, then the bottom is not a terrible place to be.
I'm seeing plenty. Like, okay, well, we're going to get into ratings at some point. I don't think people like this one. And that's just silly to me. This movie is fun. It's dumb fun.
Okay, John, let's maybe get into it so I can semi-disagree with you.
Okay, fine. Before I have to defend this movie, Kim, let's go.
No, it is fun. It is dumb fun, but it's not good.
Three good things about The Final Destination, the 3D one.
All right.
From 2009.
Number one, I'm sure we both agree on completely, is that it's 3D, motherfuckers!
Yeah, and I've never seen it in 3D. I've only ever watched it in 2D. Something about that makes that cheesy experience even better.
Yeah, because you really notice the egregious camera angles and nails poking up and sticks impaling people. You can really just feel the effort that went into doing it in that fashion.
Yeah, there are a lot of great things, little tiny details about all of the deaths in the movie, which is obviously a cornerstone of the franchise. We were trying to avoid that for the three good things. So my number two is just going to be that it's self-aware in a way that Jason Lives is self-aware of the Friday the 13th franchise. I think this movie knows exactly what kind of movie it is. It knows that you've seen three of them before, and it just leans hard into giving you dumb, goofy horror gags.
And number
two, a lot of silence at this other side of the table. Kim's just, like, sure, we'll get into it.
I just don't know if I agree with point two. I think I need evidence. I need some citations of that.
Well, I've brought a truckload of paperwork to go through if you want proof.
Thank you.
I've got receipts. $180 million worth of receipts.
Hey, I agree. Dumb fun. It is dumb fun. Number three, we're going to go with the fact that it has a double premonition whammy. You know and love the Final Destination series for having a premonition at the beginning where all of our main cast of characters, we see them all die. And then the paranoid one saves them all. And you normally only get one a movie, and this movie subverts that expectation. Maybe I'm giving you evidence for point two in that there's a double one. Another one appears later in the film, and it's also just a really great fucking setup. This is expanding beyond one single point, but I'm just going to keep talking. One, you have the airplane.
Oh, you mean the first movie? We're really going back. Okay.
Yeah, the first one you have
Let me get settled in my chair.
The first one you have the airplane. The second one you have the highway crash. The third one you have the roller coaster. I don't remember what the fifth one. Oh, it's a bridge collapse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this one you have the NASCAR race, quote unquote.
Don't say it with so much enthusiasm.
No, but it's great. Yeah. And then the movie theater where a 3D movie is playing, and I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, maybe I prove point two. Okay, I agree with you now.
There we go. So three good things beyond the fact that you get to watch a bunch of people die in like the most convoluted Rune Goldberg, you know, domino style way.
Which as a horror fan, can you ask for anything more?
Yeah. We're going to throw to the trailer when we get back. We're gonna give you some really piss poor ratings on an incredible movie. And then we're going to tell you everything else that we like about it.
Hey, how old is this place?
Got me.
We're fine. That's why they built the fence there.
We have to get out of here.
We're all gonna die, all right? It's gonna be a crash.
Have you lost your mind?
You saw it before it actually happened.
We're alive, and so are a lot of other people.
I keep having these visions. I see how the next person's gonna die.
What do you mean, the next person?
Survivors in the accident.
What if we weren't meant to survive?
What's gonna happen to us?
I think we can stop it.
Look out!
Final Destination is currently sitting at a 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb, a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 2.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
But it was number one for 2 weeks, and no other Final Destination film was, so I feel like that should be credit. The 3D thing, the tickets were probably $13 versus $7 for all the other ones, but you know what? That doesn't matter.
For 2 weeks, though, that means that a whole bunch of people went and saw it and said, you gotta check this one out. If you got a steep drop-off in the opening weekend, then you know it's a bad movie.
It beat out Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Ouch. Not sure how you make Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 in 3D, but that would have been a wild ride.
You know, this is the more commercial one. I think if I was given the choice, I think we did go see Halloween 2 in theaters and not this, but if I was given the choice now, I would have chosen Final Destination, whatever, 4.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
The Final Destination.
I'll go ahead and say, because I think it's pretty clear that I'm here to defend this movie. I think it is what it is, but I think it's a good time. I don't love the disaster at the beginning, the NASCAR disaster. I think that is one of the weaker parts of the movie.
Yeah, but they're trying to pick something that feels innately dangerous, where people would naturally have anxiety, like on the highway, you know, the log truck. I know we weren't scared of it before. We're scared of it now.
Ruined a generation.
but I mean, the highway's pretty fucking scary. People drive like idiots. Roller coasters, again, scary, but in a fun way. And airplanes. Everybody's scared of
totally
airplanes.
Totally makes
sense. Even if you're not afraid of airplanes, you're afraid of airplanes.
Even if you've never been on one, you're just like, I don't know, something about it.
Yeah, when people clap when you land, you're like, I knew you were all scared. I knew you were also peeing your pants like I was.
But racetracks, not...
They are scary.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've been to a NASCAR event. Okay, I was at a NASCAR event on like a real hairpin, or not a, it was not NASCAR. There's no hairpin turns in NASCAR. It's just one big fucking oval. No, I've been to a Molson Indy, an Indy 500 race. There we go. I finally found it.
I have never been to one of those car racy things.
Yeah.
But they look scary. It's like a teeny little fence protects you from some guy who has like a speedy death wish. And then you can also like camp in the middle circle, and there's all these people like standing on RVs and they're all hammered.
You
and
know,
you're like, guys, no Jägermeister yet. The sun is still up. And they're like, that's why we're drinking it.
As people who own an RV.
It sounds great, but
you
also
know we're
going to
do it one day.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I'll be scared some of the time.
The word you're failing to use when discussing all of those people is the word professional. They are professional drivers, professional pit crew. Come on, lady.
Actually, I was just applying for life insurance yesterday.
Did they ask if you were a NASCAR driver?
They did.
They asked if you were a NASCAR driver.
Well, no, that if you like do off road.
Do you drink Jägermeister on the top of the of your car?
And like, do you jump out of airplanes? Do you like snowmobile in rural areas? Like, you have to certify that you don't do any risky sports, and driving a fast car is a risky sport.
Okay, so you just filled out a questionnaire to find out whether or not you're a boring person, right? Is that what you're telling me?
We got a really good deal offered to us.
We're so boring. What's the most dangerous thing you do? Like, sometimes I make extra strong coffee and stay up
You're
late.
A non-smoking Canadian? Yeah, whatever, you're fine.
Yeah, you're doing good. On the other hand, people, there is a character in this movie who very specifically wants to see blood when he's at the NASCAR event. Like, he's placed money on which car is going to crash and who's going to die. And I think there is an undercurrent, definitely, with a bunch of people who watch NASCAR, that you go for the crash. That's at least the joke of it, I guess.
So it's
there's
not very nice.
So there's no, it's not very nice. It's very we all miss Dale Earnhardt.
And, I don't even get the joke.
He died.
Oh.
R.I.P. There's an understanding that it's a dangerous sport. It's kind of like driving on the highway, where there are less accidents on the highway, but there are more fatalities per accident on
the
highway.
He always tries to say that when I get nervous on the highway. He's like, don't worry, Kim, there are less accidents.
Do I say that a
you
lot?
You do!
That's a bullshit stat. I should
I,
not...
And then
I'm
I
grasping
finished.
At straws. What am I supposed to say? We're on the highway and I'm not getting off. Like, anyway, a car explodes and a whole bunch of people die. It's not exactly like the coolest way that that you could get
what?
Rid of.
So it's great though. That one girl gets the tire in the face, and then even when she's saved in the premonition, she gets the tire in the face.
That
like,
is maybe
that
one of the
is
best.
Cinema.
Yeah, she does. She does not escape alive, no matter what. Like escapes. Uses
the
takes
tire
the advantage of having a premonition.
Its original path.
Yeah. Death was like, she's the first in the pattern.
Better get a head start on this.
Yeah. Like way more people got out than he was expecting. He's just like, oh shit, I gotta put in some overtime on this one.
What I love about Death in this one, just while we're still on the premonition, is that the weird supernatural personified version of Death is active before Death is skipped. We see some unknown force like unscrewing the bolts on the fence and doing little sneaky things.
Don't we see little
to
stuff
facilitate
like that
the accident
though?
I mean, if you're going by the original film, because I can't remember any of the other ones specifically, the original film, it's not that. It's just like little things set him off to knowing that the premonition was accurate, like the tab on the drop-down table and the girls wanting to switch seats. Like, those weren't death things. Those were just premonition things.
Okay.
In this one, Death is actually like, you know, with an invisible screwdriver going like, ha, these fuckers are dying.
It's the summer. It's his busy season. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. We've all been to stadiums or just like old venues where things like, ooh, I don't know if this is great.
Oh man. Like when you see something and like there's too many people on it, it's like bouncing or shifting. There's a roller coaster at our big theme park in, I guess, Canada. It's in Ontario. And there's one like suspended roller coaster where you're in like a car and the actual track is above you.
Oh, yeah.
It stops so fast that all the cars swing violently and the entire track shakes. I saw that once like 6 years ago. And I was like, I can never go on that ride again.
Still a good ride, guys. You want to ride the Vortex of Canada's Wonderland? You
just don't look at just
take
don't
your life
look at the
hands.
End of the ride before you get on it, because it's scary. But it does go on the mountain, so it's really cool.
It's one of the best roller coasters they have there, and it's very, very 80s. That's the thing about it. It's like, ooh, slightly futuristic, but not beyond the time period of RoboCop.
Yeah, it does look very RoboCop.
Yeah.
What is it about this premonition sequence that you don't love? Is it just that it's like fires and tires? Oh, that sounds good.
I guess they have. My problem is that it's just hashtag fires and tires. Yeah, it's just not super. I don't know. There isn't a lot involved in it. There's the deaths are fine. I like the deaths outside the rest of the movie more than I like the premonition sequence. I do like how some of the people die, but it's really quick. Like, this person gets caught on fire, this person gets crushed. It's kind of, it would probably have been a lot better in 3D. I definitely think if there was a tire flying at my face, that would have been a lot cooler. And it doesn't quite build as slowly as,
honestly, this
movie
would probably be better in 4D, because there's all that like ominous death wind throughout the movie.
Oh my god,
if
yeah.
You just
if you
had like
cold wind blowing
just
on you,
tickling the back of your neck, I'd be like, fuck, this movie's so scary.
Yeah, I'd like that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's the addition of the 3D glasses and a little bit of death wind.
Honestly, some of the deaths in the movie, like the mother, who they remember because she uses tampons to plug her kid's ears because it's too loud at the NASCAR race. Her death, when she's at the beauty salon, is slower and more drawn out, and it like has just like a ooh factor to it. Like, oh, anything could go wrong in any minute.
There's a lot of ominous fan action.
Yeah, even when she's just getting a pedicure, you're just like, oh god, something's gonna happen to her foot.
Yeah, I really don't like watching people get their toenails clean, but also when I'm worried their toenail's gonna fly off, also not great.
The best part about that too is that you know she's not gonna die because somebody accidentally jammed something sharp into her foot, but you that's the one thing that like gets you throughout that whole scene. You're just like, oh, this, she's scraping her nail and it's gonna hurt if she falls.
Well, yeah, because we are already primed too, because we know the chair is faulty. Like, there's so many things happening in that scene. And that's always what's fun about the movies, because it really plays with you as a horror fan. And this is all Final Destination movies, because there are a lot of fake outs, and it is like a Rube Goldberg?
I think it's Rune Goldberg.
An automaton. Once it starts, it's just this weird momentum of different things. It's like Death can't just try one thing. He's got three potential things that'll murder you on the go. It's like a dominoes track that splits off into three.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's wonderful, because as a horror fan, you're like, ooh, I don't know which one's gonna be it.
Well, it's one, he's trying to cover his tracks. He doesn't want people to know he's there. He's a sneaky devil. Also, I think
some guy was dragged from the back of a tow truck on fire down a quiet residential street. Death is not being discreet.
That one in particular, I think he took personally. Like, this guy is very clearly like a member of the KKK. He's trying to light a crucifix on fire on this guy's lawn. And then, yeah, he gets lit on fire and dragged behind his own car. Well, Why Can't We Be Friends plays on the radio. Death is a comedian.
Death does not tolerate intolerance.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So I'd say that the biggest crime of this movie might be that Tony Todd's not in it anywhere, right?
I was going to say that.
This is
that
the
was going to be my one bad thing.
Yeah, that's the we don't normally do bad things. One bad thing, no Tony Todd.
He didn't even need to speak. I just needed to see him like walk by that weird coffee shop that they're always at and just give them like a wink and then be like, "Who the fuck is that?"
Oh, like his like reflection is just like somewhere in the
Love it.
In the window. That'd be good. Yeah, or just like his voice is on the breeze.
He's in the fifth one, I think.
I think he's in all of them except this one.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Rube Goldberg machines that I wanted to say is that the domino effect stuff, I think it's also just that Death's been killing people for thousands of years, millions of years, if he's also responsible for killing
animals. He's probably having so much fun with electricity.
Yeah, now he's like, it's still new to him.
He's like, I'm so glad we're not in caves anymore. It was really hard to find gadgets to fall down.
I kept having to get rocks falling. They're like, what's that sound? And then a bigger rock would fall. But don't you think he just got bored? Like, that's my thing. It's like, he's trying to make it harder for himself. He's not just trying to cover his tracks. There's a part of that. Like, nobody, you don't want it to look like a murder. It's got to look like an accident. That's the game.
And they
always
say, like, God and the devil are playing chess and, like, we're just part of the chess match. But really, the devil's just bored with the standard quo of reaping regular corpses. He's got to make a whole event out of it.
Yeah.
Like a NASCAR race.
This is his Super Bowl?
Well, that is kind of the theory of the film, because at the very end, I'm jumping, but we'll talk about more stuff, that the, you know, three surviving leads are like, what if this was the plan the whole time? What if we were supposed to be here from the beginning? And so Death really has just been letting them escape the things they think they're escaping, and so on and so forth, until they could all get hit by a truck, which felt really uninspired.
Don't a few of them kind of end like this, though? Like, it's, oh my god, wait, if this has been his plan all along.
Yeah, they all
together.
End like that.
Like, whatever, who gives a shit?
But the first one's really great with the sign falling down.
First one's really great. Fifth one's really great, where you find out that the end of the movie is the beginning of the first movie, and they're just like, we got out alive, and they get on a plane to go to Paris, and they're like, hey, is that Devon Sawa? And then their plane explodes.
My favorite thing, though, about thinking about death as, like, always trying to tie the loose ends and correct the wrongs and, you know, like, every time there's a psychic that subverts death and takes, you know, 15 other people with him, the amount of the ripple effect on the economy.
On the economy?
He does millions of dollars in damage.
Which all needs to get fixed. Death is creating jobs. What are you talking about? Ultimately, a good guy. Depending on who you ask.
But, like, and then all of the, like, what is the rule with all the other fallout? Because if, say, they allowed that theater to explode, everybody in that theater died.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're justifying it by saying it was just plan all along, so those people were supposed to die, but...
I think the real theory of the movie is just that life is chaos. And there's no rhyme or reason.
Oh, yeah, this movie makes me more anxious about everything. Like, is the cap on this? Did I unplug that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, when accidents happen, they don't usually happen over the course of 15 fun seconds. It's usually over the course of, like, 6 months of, you know, people not following policy and procedure and checking to see if something's rusted and broken, and then all of a sudden the bridge collapses, or, you know, somebody's being an idiot and a wildfire takes off. It's just, whatever, life's chaos. Shit happens.
Did you just have a Smokey the Bear moment?
Yeah, I mean, we've been stuck with wildfire, like, ruining the sky where we live for, like, the last few weeks. Like, the weather report has basically just been like, don't breathe outside today. You're like, okay, cool, I wasn't planning on doing that to survive.
Yeah, it's been pretty hazy and sad.
So anyway, like, the movie is silly. And the movie's got some deaths in it that aren't really, you know, anything super fun to write home about. They're a little gimmicky. They're 3D. Fucking dude gets, you know, knocked with a gas canister and pushed through a fence that's impossibly sharp.
Who
made that fence?
That's the best death. He gets cheese grated. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
And then it, like, he goes all the way through it, and you can see through to the other side, and the other mechanic's just like, huh?
Yeah, parts of his body are, like, falling out, and you can see through, and everybody's like, oh, shit, we
love it.
We should have done something about that, maybe.
And then there's the butthole getting sucked up in the pool.
Yo.
Which was definitely stolen from the Chuck Palahniuk book. Is it Invisible Monsters?
I think it might be Choke. I think it might be that book.
The guy that wrote Fight Club definitely wrote this incident into a story, and it was... That is way too specific for two people to come up with that within years of each other.
It had to be real close, yeah. Also, I'm thinking the book was haunted. I don't know. I think it's a collection of short stories that people are telling each other.
He put out so many things in that.
He put out a lot of books. They're all very edgy.
In one of those books, somebody gets their intestines sucked out through their butthole, through a faulty pool filter. It's so specific.
Yeah.
It's so specific.
It's great. That sequence is awesome. Like, one, that character's a dickhead, so, like, anything that bad that's gonna happen to him, you're ready for it. You're
some
welcoming
might say,
it.
He's a butthole.
He's a huge butthole.
I do love that when his innards explode out the pool filter, that his lucky coin lands after him.
Yeah.
And death actually makes him lose the coin beforehand. It's pretty good.
Yeah, death's got a good sense of storytelling. Even if there's nobody around to notice.
Poetic justice. Yeah.
But the other half of that, because, like, at that moment we're trying to figure out, you know, these two people died at the same time during the disaster. So our leads, Nick and Lori.
It's a really Dark Knight scenario.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta go across town and figure, like, who are you gonna save?
Which one's it gonna be?
So they're trying to, like, all we know is that water's involved somehow, and, like, one of them is at a pool and the other one's at a car wash. Like, what do we do?
Okay, but have you ever been afraid of a car wash before? Because I have, and this tapped into that fear.
I have been afraid of car washes zero times.
You have to give over control in a way that I don't agree with.
Huh.
You're on, like, an automated track. It's always a 16-year-old running the thing.
Yeah.
It's also very fun, though. Like, I always really wanted to go because my dad would get, like, the multicolored foam soap.
Yeah, it's fun.
He'd be like, this looks like marshmallows.
You get a coffee or a hot chocolate or something, you make a day out of it.
But it was also
a whole day out of the 2-minute car wash.
A whole day out of it.
We do live boring
Come
lives.
Come on, kids, let's go down to the car wash.
Did the life insurance application ask if we like to hang out at car washes anytime?
It did not.
Okay. Well, I think that car wash is great.
I love it.
It's one of my favorite of the franchise.
I mean, the girl is really, really dumb for going into a car wash when she knows her sunroof isn't working.
It just constantly opens. And she's like, nah, better go and wipe. She goes to a whole car wash to take bird poop off of her windshield.
Well, fuck my upholstery, I guess.
It's also the biggest bird shit in the world.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the bird shit.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's like somebody dumped a whole...
It's the catalyst, Kim!
It's a whole...
The bird shit is the smoking gun!
Unless a pterodactyl flew by and dropped it on her car, there's zero explanation or
she's
reason.
She's pedaling with her feet.
Yeah, it's a Flintstone situation. Yeah. But she, she's a complete idiot for going to the car wash because it isn't until she's driving into the car wash
that
she gets the sunroof closed. She's like, I control you, machine. What a huge mistake. And then she gets her head stuck in it. Classic. Love that. And this is all after she nearly escaped drowning inside the car, which is just a fun image, but like the propeller blades of just like sharp cleaning rags that are just like that are gonna, I guess, rip her face skin off.
They're gonna tangle her up a little bit.
Yeah, it's it looks
and when her
like
head gets
horrible
trapped,
way to go.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but her friends also just magically know how she's stuck and they can ram the car and get her out. Like, there's no way that they would have known what was happening.
They have the power of premonition, John.
Okay.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The premonitions in this movie are not great.
They're so bad, and I love them.
The fact that you said that there are two premonitions, like, there's two full-ass premonitions, but, like...
There's two full sequences of, we all die, but no, we don't.
But he has several vague visual messages
of,
that
like,
tell
not
him.
Fully rendered 3D images.
Yes, it's very, very
2008.
Rushed. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, even for 2008, I don't even know if it's that great. But you know, when you're trying to get it done for 3D and get it out to the theaters, I guess at some point you gotta just say it's good enough.
Like, we're all gonna be wearing gray glasses. It's fine. It'll pass.
Yeah. Oh boy. When they get to the movie theater, though, like, that is like genuine peak Final Destination franchise stuff.
Yeah, it's the combination of the movie theater and the escalator. You're just like, these are really great. Why were these locations not in Final Destinations sooner? You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing is, why couldn't the... I like the idea of ending with them going to a 3D movie inside a 3D
How
movie.
How cheeky.
Also, he turns down going to the movie because he says, sounds like it's a bit of a chick flick.
I know.
How many chick flicks are in 3D?
Not enough.
And this Especially how many chick flicks have huge explosions in them.
How many chick flicks still exist today? Not many.
There's chick flicks all the time.
There's like three on Netflix.
There's three on Netflix every weekend. Rebel Wilson's in half of them.
I know. I want like the Julia Roberts ones, not the Rebel Wilson ones.
Okay, well, we're in the post-ironic age of rom-coms where the characters know they're in a rom-com.
Wait a minute, I don't need a man. And you're like, quit opening your bakery and focus on love.
Don't you think, though, that... Don't you think that the end of the movie, the premonition in the end where they're in the movie theater and then there's like the whole mall becomes a fucking death trap pretty much, mostly just an escalator.
Malls are a death trap.
Don't you think that's a better premonition than the beginning of the movie?
No, I think the NASCAR one is good.
Okay. I'm not saying we should swap them. Like, ending in the NASCAR is a little weird.
Like, if I was to rank things in order of scariness, it would go NASCAR race, escalator, movie theater.
Okay,
my own personal anxiety ranking.
Got it. I think let's not talk about why movie theaters are scary. That just seems like a bad message to send people off into the day with. I think I know why you think movie theaters are scary, and escalators would be my number one scary of the three of those things. And you get a great...
You can't have a whole sequence on an escalator, though.
What are you talking about?
No, I mean, like you can't have the main premonition of the Final Destination film be the escalator.
Absolutely you can. That's the challenge. We're going to a mall in Dubai.
Everybody's shoelaces get... Yeah,
it's the world's largest escalator. It's 16 feet wide. It can move 1,300 people every minute.
Some woman's like really pregnant and a baby is born on the escalator.
Baby's born on the escalator?
Yeah, and that's going to be like where they play with the Skippy-Doo later on
in
the film.
Do we live on the escalator?
Because the soul is created halfway. No, that's the escalator.
Oh my God,
breaks.
There's, wow, a birth in the middle of one of these disaster scenarios?
There was a pregnancy in, I think, the second one? I can't remember.
Maybe.
I think they already did that. But on the escalator would just be funny.
Okay, well, when the escalator sequence in this movie is incredible. It's everything you've ever wanted in a horror movie with an escalator. You get a brief little tense glimpse of it.
We were warned about
like,
it.
Oh my God, my shoelace is caught. Oh my God, I gotta get out. And like, she's
and
freaking
like,
out a little bit.
This is my nightmare.
She's freaking out a little bit extra because she did just nearly escape death several times.
She has been chased by death for a week and a half.
It's been a lot, but we would all freak out about that. Especially, those are brand new shoes. She just got them.
She's not gonna just slide her foot out.
Yeah, like we're all saying the same thing. We're all just like, just take your foot out of the shoe. You're just like, no, I paid good money for these. They're not going to let me return them.
I go down with the ship.
But the fucking floor gives out, the gears open up, and then it just slowly fucking eats her. It's gnarly.
Yeah, well, and she's the girlfriend of the lead. She's definitely co-lead of this film. To see her leg go into that gear and flatten and just fly off in a pile of goo, you're like, oh shit, they're really killing her.
As soon as her foot gets caught, you're like, oh, it's done. Like, but they stretch it out. Like, it takes a long time for that machine to work up enough force to eat her up.
He's still holding on to her, and she's like, Jack, I'll never let go, or whatever.
And he's like, oh, your hand is too slippery, I'm so sorry.
She's definitely already like, oh, dead.
She's spitting up blood as soon as her foot gets crushed. Yeah, no, it's...
Is that your favorite death, quote-unquote, of the film?
Absolutely. 100%. Second is probably the guy getting sucked up by the pool. I don't know why.
Like, that one feels like plagiarism, so I'm choosing the fence cheese grater.
It's just silly. It's just a lot of fun. Like, that's my biggest thing about the movie, is that it is silly and stupid, but I have a great time watching it. I don't need it to take itself too seriously, because it's the fourth movie of a franchise, and by this point, we can't just keep doing the same movie over and over again. Like, you know, the first movie is incredible for the foundation that it lays, for the premonitions, and how all of these characters absolutely do not want to believe what Devon Sawa has to say. Like, you're a fucking crazy person. We just lucked out. We, you know, it was just one of those things. We survived. Let's not think about it. But then as things start to happen around them and as people die, they can't help but agree that death is after them. You don't need that in a fourth sequel, right? Like, you just need one scene, and we have it in this movie, where he shows up and says, all right, guys, so there's some crazy fucking shit happening. Death's gonna kill us. He's coming for us one by one, and it's gonna be in the pattern in the way that we died, or should have died.
I am
in
the
my
Messiah.
Premonition. Yeah. And then everybody's like, all right, cool. I mean, that's a little fucked up. I'm gonna ignore it for about half an hour, but ultimately, I do agree with you. This is what's happening. Like, no one really puts up a fuss.
Yeah,
everyone's on board.
There's also no police in this one. Like, nobody is chasing after Devon Sawa. Part 4, because he happens to be at the scene of every single crime as it happens.
Yeah.
They just don't even deal with it.
We've condensed the contractually obligated funeral to a memorial service.
We just 56 people all in one go.
Yeah. And this movie is also got, or at least this sequel has, some weird takes on what happens if you're outside of the sequence. Like how George, the security guard, whose name I can never remember, but he's the shop owner in Purge Election Year.
Oh, I wonder why I was so familiar.
He's Nicolas Cage's diabetic buddy in Con Air, you know, and he can't kill himself.
That was great. I almost forgot about that. There's a really great moment after they rescue him from being, actually, death just doesn't let him get hung. He's got a noose around his neck and they cut to a 5 minute away conversation where they're all sitting on the bed talking about it, and he hasn't taken the noose off. He's sitting there in the noose.
Would have been the first thing I did. Yeah. No, he's like, yeah, I tried poisoning myself. I just threw him up. I tried, asphyxiating myself with my car in the garage. Car kept stalling out. I've been hanging up here for 15 minutes. It's not working. And then they immediately get bottles of champagne out and start cheers at each other. Like, hey guys, guess what? We're immortal now. It's good stuff. Real good stuff. But also crazy sad for that character. Like, he goes from being like, oh, you know, my life really didn't turn out the way I thought it would. I became an alcoholic. I killed my family in a car accident. But it's okay. I'm ready to see him again. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, well, I guess I could just hang out with you teens, right? Like, oh, yeah, that's right. We defeated death, everybody.
I was lying. I love living. The only thing I will say about this one is that the characters, I know you're saying it doesn't really matter as much because there's not as much weight on them in this, but without, you know, this being a very Fast and Furious 3D installment of the series, the acting is the weakest of any of them. And the characters are really weak. And I feel like maybe a little bit of effort could have been made. Because, I remember really enjoying, the characters of the second one and really enjoying the characters of the third one. Like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is very good.
Mm-hmm.
There's, the two goth characters who work at the hardware store. I love all of those characters.
That's
I don't
true.
Think there's yeah. any character in here I particularly even like a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, when I'm watching a deep, deep sequel in the Friday the 13th franchise, I can't tell you anybody's names, but I go, that's the horny one, that's the stoner, that's the idiot, that's the jerk, and that's kind of exactly what I'm doing with this one. That's everybody that you get. You're just like, I just need some archetypes so I know who everybody is, and then, watch them die.
Yeah, I guess.
I get you. It'd be great if every movie could be the greatest movie I've ever seen, but sometimes I just want to have a good laugh, and I don't want to feel bad about watching people die repeatedly.
But then, if you're going to do that, if you're going to have characters that you don't really care about, then, just don't even do the fluff. Don't give me a half-assed version of the fluff. I was an alcoholic, and I killed my family, and the stuff like that. I just don't even need, I don't need any of it. If we're just going to kill them all and have just a bunch of spectacular deaths, don't pretend you're going to pull at my heartstrings.
That's a good point.
Give me all or nothing. That's, I guess. And there was no Tony Todd. Those are my complaints.
Those are the biggest ones. But still, super fun entry in the franchise, even if the ending is a little meh. It's 100% that Universal backlot, right?
Yeah,
where the cafe is.
Yeah, apparently they did the reshoots in Universal Florida.
Oh, so there was a completely different ending.
Probably.
Interesting. I wonder what that... You know, they were... So here's the thing. They were...
The problem is we don't have the individual one on DVD. We bought one of those, multi-packs, and it doesn't have any of the special features. Because I'm sure the Blu-ray or the DVD comes with probably the 2D version and the 3D version. I would love to watch this 3D with, shitty blue and red glasses.
That would be fun. Yeah, from what I understand, the director, his goal here with the 3D was not to make a bunch of, stuff popping out at the screen all the time. Which
it does.
It does have a lot of that, but he wanted it to add depth to the scenes. And, I'm sure it does, but I have not watched that version. And the end of the movie had to be similar to the end of Part 5. Because they're laying the ground. You've got little hints everywhere about the whole franchise. You were pointing out that when he gets the premonition about the two characters dying somewhere near water, that it's Clear River's Water Spring
Company
or something.
Or something, which is the name of Ali Larter's character in the first and second film.
Yeah, I think there were a few other allusions to the previous movie. And also the opening credit sequence is showing you deaths from the first three movies.
Yeah, like an x-ray version, which is very fun.
Yeah, and the characters were saying, or at least Lori, the you know, Nick's girlfriend in the movie who dies on the escalator, was talking about how she wants to maybe go traveling now that they're going to live forever. So, like, I think the idea was maybe that they were going to get on a plane and it would be the beginning of the first Final Destination movie.
Oh, like you're thinking maybe they pulled back on that kind of relationship to explore that in the fifth one?
Yeah.
Like maybe they reshot to capsulize this movie a little more?
Yeah, or just like test audiences thought it was too much because maybe the idea of doing that double premonition in the movie theater and then you're in the plane, it's just like, guys, you're doing a lot here. I think it would have been great. I really think they were leading up to it. And I'm not saying we didn't need that fifth movie because that fifth movie's pretty good, actually.
I'll have to revisit it because we watched it a bunch on TV and I think I just got oversaturated with it.
Yeah.
I was like, why is this always on?
Yeah.
Probably the cheapest one to screen.
But I mean, hey, I think I feel the way about Final Destination 4 that you feel about Final Destination 3.
You don't like 3 more than 4? It's a roller coaster.
You're asking me right now.
I just
finished a number 4. Right now, I
and
like this
photos,
movie.
The photos, the camera.
It's all good. That's all good.
And it's like a big giant devil they have to go under to get on the roller coaster.
Yeah, but Kim, the movie theater with the 3D stuff and the escalator and that dumb pool death and that car wash.
What are you talking?
I'm telling you, I really like number 4 because I'm an idiot. My brain is mush,
well,
and I like dumb movies.
I don't disagree because yeah. Number 3 is so much better.
Once again, you know, like we said in the beginning, they're all
number
at the very
least.
Number
3 is a 4 out of 4 film, John.
To some.
Whoa.
I don't remember what I rated it. There's a pretty good chance I gave it a fucking 4 out of 4.
We're going back because I think I give it a 4 out of 4.
It's a really good movie.
It's so good.
But.
And then the double, like the samurai swords from the guy at the gym.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. I really like number 4, and obviously we just watched it, so I'm high on the movie. Every time I watch it, it like Scream 4, it keeps going up in my ranking. And like, this is definitely like the personal pick. Like, I get it. Not everybody's going to love Jason Takes Manhattan. Not everybody's going to come around on the Final Destination. You know, it's fine. It's a personal favorite for me. I really like it.
But you don't even like the main premonition in the beginning in the NASCAR race.
That is how good the rest of the movie is. I just think it's fun. Like, that's what it comes down to. I think it is more fun than probably the rest of them.
I'm upset.
Okay.
I would like to leave.
And that's why I will give the Final Destination 3.5 seems high. 3.5.
Thank God.
I'm building the ramp towards saying it.
It's
even
a 2.5
like,
out of 4 for me. Thank
ooh,
you.
Ooh,
thank you, guys.
Ooh,
I would like to. Good night. Good night, everyone.
It's at least a 3 out of 4.
Ugh.
3 out of 4 seems appropriate. I might live to regret a 3.5, but goddamn, I think this movie's a lot of fun.
It's now my goal in life. We have to redo all the Final Destination films.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm going to hold a gun to your head while you rank them. I just can't accept this.
I really like it. I think it's great.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's fine. Yes, if we are grading movies on a rubric and we're saying that the strength of the story is this and the writing and the characters and the performances, absolutely. Objectively, low score.
Okay, so if you had to put it in a Letterboxd ranking today without...
Which I will be doing this afternoon.
Without revisiting any of the other films, where does this appear?
This is real tough. Don't make me do this.
It goes 1, 3, 2, 4, 5, John.
Oh.
Oh, wait. 1, 3, 2, 5, 4. That's where it goes.
See, here we go. Like I said at the beginning, everybody puts it at the bottom. What's the deal, guys? I don't...
Yeah, but the bottom can still be a soft 6.
I don't know. Like, again, I have not revisited some of those movies. And
all right, we know it has an asterisk. Just give us your rating.
I just watched it. It's probably like 1, 4, 3, 2, 5, 2. Like, I don't know. 2's okay. I haven't seen it in a while, but like,
2's just a little emotional.
2's probably my
it's
least
the
favorite.
Emoist of them.
Yeah. I think maybe, yeah, this feels right. 1, 4, 3, 5, 2. I think
that's
might
incorrect.
Be.
That's very incorrect.
Anyway, let us know. That's just my opinion.
I would even take 3-1. That's how good 3 is.
Look, before Kim and I start getting into a fist fight, I just want to say that that's our opinion. And this is what we thought of the movie. One of us
is wrong.
Is wrong. Who's to say which one that is?
Who's to say?
Let us know what you thought of The Final Destination, the 3D one, over on Twitter, on Instagram. The Nightmare on Film Street Discord is the absolute best place to get a hold of us at nofspodcast.com/discord. Let us know what you thought of this number two in the franchise fan favorite.
This 3D one that appears somewhere near the bottom in your franchise ranking. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've been a longtime fan of Nightmare on Film Street and want to support us, head to our Patreon page to get access to tons of bonus episodes, watch parties, and a lot more fun stuff. That is at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. And if you can't support us right now, that is totally fine. You can also give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening to this. That is a free way that you can really help the show.
We'll be back again next week. Talking about another 3D deep cut sequel, unless there's something else comes up in the meantime. Anyway, we'll be back at some point to talk about another bad sequel, a 3D one. Go ahead and take a wild guess what that one's going to be. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
I can't believe you like this one that much.
I knew this was going to be like, I'm coming out of the coffin. I got to let you know that I like this movie.
You should have like let me down gently before we started recording.
I feel like there was 30 minutes of groundwork laid before I was like, this one's great. This one I love.
But you started off with like, you know, I don't love the NASCAR thing.
I don't. That, I didn't lie to you. I don't like it. Movie's an A+, though. Ugh.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.